Hello, welcome back, and it's wonderful to be together again. Everyone's coming online. So I will create a class page and put the recordings up from today on the class page, and that'll probably happen tomorrow afternoon sometime. And you'll have the recordings and within a day or two, the summaries for the recording. Okay, we're getting there. So, is there a little check, can we do a little check-in? How are you doing with the non-verbal telepathic kind of experience? A few of you would like to check in with that. I know it's a little harder to give words to it, so if there is a way for you to do it, let's try. I mean, it could be something as simple as I just felt more expanded, or I was comfortable or uncomfortable with the expansion. What do we have?
This is Mark. I feel I'm more able to quickly be seated and connected and feel the expansion than I ever have. So that's a nice gift to have. I could see how I kind of quickly shifted out to some degree, and in the lunchtime, and it was kind of like, okay, it's time to come back. I didn't do any watch any TV or do anything like that during the break. I just had lunch and sat quietly. So that was helpful, but it's easy also to recognize when, easier now to recognize when I slip out of that mode too.
That's why we need our community.
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
Anyone else?
Char, I you use the word try, and I find when I'm using words in the woods to try to sort of conjure the relationship, it feels like I'm trying. It feels difficult. It feels not easy. And when I can simply fall back into her arms and relax and let her come to me, somehow it, without the words, it's a complete shift. And it's the same feeling I have sitting in the circle. So that connection is so different and so much more real to me.
It is so different, isn't it? I mean, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, without words. And you don't need the words. But then it's hard to try to explain it later.
Right, I know. It's true. One day we'll all be just telepathically communicating. Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
This is Cindy. It just felt like I was sinking into this comfortable, down, warm blanket. I just felt so hugged and so embraced by the energy from the spirit of the land. I was really relishing sitting in that. And that was the entire experience for. And yes, it was expansive, but it was cushy and comfy expansive for me.
That's how we're all supposed to live.
Oh, please.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. That, oh, and you know what, Cindy? I mean, have you made that connection? She and Mark are moving. So have you made that connection with the land in Montana?
Oh, I've been doing that for quite some time. Greeting the spirit of the land there. My understanding from my sister-in-law is the whole Flathead Valley is a vortex. So I'm very excited about, I do the connection there. And oh, I don't even, and also it's the same way with the spirit of the land in Goodyear, Arizona. Oh, so precious. But yeah, I'm mostly asking permission and hoping for a place to land. So that's the work I've been doing with that.
It'll pull you right there when it happens. It'll just like suck you right into the right place and you'll land.
Yep. I
So
believe that.
good. Okay. How about anyone else?
It's Ken. I went out to feed the birds over lunch, and I went out very consciously of the woods and the snow and the animals in the woods, and it felt like a communion with everything out there. So that was a nonverbal communication and a beautiful one.
Yep. The birds have been very quiet here today. I haven't seen hardly any at all. It's very, very quiet. Everything's still.
That's true.
How about anyone else?
Sarah, this is Lakshmi. So during the last meditation, there were several moments where it was just quiet and I was unaware of it. The moment I became aware, my mind jumped in. So if there was any nonverbal communication, I don't know, because the mind was an extra chatterbox at that moment. How, I mean, when I wasn't aware that it was all silent, it was great.
Yeah, so yeah, the mind s said, give me some space too, but in that silence, it's a very fertile space, silence. And so usually what happens is when you don't have to be aware, you don't have to conjure or create anything. Usually, after dipping into that silence, it could be, later today or tomorrow or during the week, something will arise as a fresh experience or a fresh revelation from having dipped into that silence.
Okay, so I don't have to stay in it. Like I don't have to make, not efforting, but I sh isn't.
Did you like being in the silence?
Oh yes, it
Okay.
was calming. Like just, and that's when I first became aware that this feels great. Like there's no distractions, and there was this peace and stillness. And then I became aware of it.
Right. So that's just reaching deeper. And it often takes being in a, like a group or at first to find that place. And then once you've found it, your being is oriented towards it. So your being will kind of find it again and again. And that's a wonderful place to settle and land. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
See, once we touch these spaces, like that's one of the other reasons that I was having everyone take these beautiful experiences off the shelf, because our being, once we have them, wants to be there more. And we orient towards it. And when I say orient, it's a knowing in our being that this exists while we're in human form and it's possible. And what happens is our deeper knowing wants us to dip into these states more and more. And if we put them on the shelf, like we've been using that language, then there's something that we set up inside of us that is almost like trying to take us in two different directions, and we're fighting it in a way. Because in order to stay in that more integrated state, we have to let go and be released from the conditioned mind. And that feels very unsafe. It's a little scary to really let go of our conditioning and be free of it. And so once we've had these beautiful states and we return to kind of the conditioned state of the world, there's a part of us always kind of trying to get back to that beautiful state. And then there's a part of us that doesn't feel safe doing that. And we end up in an unconscious struggle. And so that's why I emphasize the grounding for safety. We need to find a way to be safe within us so that we can allow our natural orientation to guide us. And so the way I work with safety is an embodied way, which is the feminine way, which I've described, which is being in our body connected through the root to the Kundalini and to Mother Earth. Once we find that container and we can keep returning to it, the safety and the feeling of safety becomes more familiar to us, and we allow more of that to happen. And then there's kind of a releasing of the conditioning because we're feeling safer. And then we can enter into these deeper states in what I call a realized way, in an embodied way, so that it becomes part of our being rather than a dissociated part of our being. So that may account for some of the, I don't know, discomfort or reaction, a reactionary state that can happen once we have a very deep experience. You know, it's like sometimes there's like this rubber band effect where we bounce back into the conditioned mind because if I stay there too long, I start to feel. I don't feel safe because I haven't established a safe container that's secure. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. Having that experience once kind of orients, it's more like a compass is how I'm thinking of it. But thank you for letting me know of the struggle that will come because you're right. I'm so much in my conditioned state. And that ironically feels safer. And letting go is tough.
Right. This is not easy. I mean, what we're doing, and that's we're aiming at very deep transformation, and so we always have to come back to a safe place in order to allow that to happen. Otherwise, we go into forcing it or creating it, and that just bounces back on us too. So, hope that's helpful for everyone.
Thank you, Sarah.
Anyone have something to say about that?
So sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I was planning to share fits into what you were saying, but I can't quite put all the pieces together. My experience was a little different in that when my body and my being really feels like it did, I mean, my whole body was tingling, my feet were very connected, lots of sensation in my feet and legs. And it was beautiful. And I'm not sure what word I want to use, but complete maybe. And so I was surprised by two things given that. One was that when I'm in that state, I don't usually have thoughts about my life or about, people, or I just don't, but I did. And so I was like, not used to feeling like this and having those thoughts come in. And I might got a pretty bad headache. And so, whenever I get a headache like that, I go to my feet, but I was already there. So it was just interesting to, and I ate and that helped. So maybe I just needed to eat. I'm also taking some herbs, and so maybe that, you know what I mean? So, but energetically, I'm not sure if some of that fits into what some of the things that you were just describing.
It does in the broader sense, in that the way I would what I see in you was a th and don't take this literally, okay? It's in a broader sense, but it was kind of a threat to your identity in the third chakra area, which is close to where you were feeling it in your body, too, in terms of where the headache was coming from. But that it's a very subconscious threat to your identity, not a conscious threat, and not something you're resisting. But that's where it seems to be centered in your being.
Interesting. And how is there a way to be with that? I don't know.
I would say that your being is working it out. Yeah, there's no way to like consciously work with that. But as we go through here and get deeper into the ceremony, I'm sure something will work out there.
Okay, that's great. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Anyone else have some issues to come up?
This is Tammy. I was just thrown out of the state I was in, and it's like I was blinking and surprised, and it's like, what happened? I don't know what happened.
I missed the word that you said. Something got you out of that state. What was the word that you used?
Okay, I have to think.
Oh, please don't.
sorry.
Something, did you say blinked you out of that state?
Blown.
It was
Yeah, it
blown.
was. Yes, I was blown out of the state I was in, and I was blinking and fully awake. It was like, bam! I had gone from one state to another, and I don't know what happened.
So, when did you go? When did you switch states? Like when we were in the middle of it or near the end?
No, near the end. It was near the end, and I just came out of it with a bang.
I think it's very similar to what I was saying. I think that where we were together in that state where the circle was actually deeper than people realized. And when that happens, a trigger can go off and say, okay, you've gone too far, let's bring you back. And that happens. And it's all, like I was saying to Lori, it's very subconscious. And that's why we go gently and slowly and deeply grounded into these states, because they are the conditioned mind, and it's got 5 to 6,000 years of conditioning human beings. That's a long time. And it's a very solid state. And so as we're going through this transition into the new paradigm and the new frequencies, it's a big shift. And so it's very easy for our being to subconsciously feel threatened and feel like it's going to die, which it is, but not yet. You know what I mean? And there is that instinct in us to keep it, keep the old. And so that's why the world is in such chaos right now. I mean, that is an experience of, uh-oh, better come back to safety, like we were talking about before, and boom, you're out of it. And, I've experienced it a million times. So then we return. It's kind of like the rubber band stretched as far as it could, and then it pops back, and then we, start again with the safety and allowing our beings to adjust.
That is so helpful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Is anyone else relating to this that we're talking? Because we have a theme going on here.
Hi, Sarah. This is Lisa. What happened was in the beginning, I think in retrospect, I think I had somewhat of my whatever they were, I don't know, but expectations. So there was an expectation somehow set for something today because of just because of all that is surrounding the day and the weekend. So when I settled down from that in the meditation, and I was in a lot of pain in my back and hips, and I worked through that, and it was still lingering, and I could feel resistance. I definitely felt a resistance, so I kept with the mantras, I surrender, and I am open to, and my body is willing, and I am allowing, and all of those words, and eventually it got quiet. Eventually it did. The pain did not completely go away by the before the break, so I did something that helped afterward, and now I'm in a pretty balanced, pain stable state. So, but similar, it was similar, and I had resistance for sure.
Yeah, sorry about that, everyone, but our higher beings are guiding us through this, so to the attunement. And so I'm glad everyone has a modicum of sobriety to help them move through this. We'll keep returning to the safety. Lisa, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you notice about what makes the pain diminish in relationship to your consciousness and your body?
Well, my level of consciousness has a lot to do with the pain in my body, but my body has its own patterns, which I have not figured out yet. And it definitely can just go off with a movement. I can't really sustain a lot of exercise. So really the past 40 days has been regimented exercise of what I know my body can take, not a lot of external connections, you know, a lot of meditation, a lot of mantras. I've just really been drilling because I want to get past this. I want to understand this pain at a deeper level. So I wish I could answer your question. Right now, I did a recalibration to the frequency of the solstice in that half hour after I ate, and that's what took the rest of the pain away. So that was definitely consciousness-based.
Okay, so how did you recalibrate to the solstice frequency?
Through a map coning.
Okay, so that helps you.
Right, I do go to that at times, but when I sit several times during the day and I'm really connected and the Merkabah is going, and I can be pain-free, but I have to live very carefully. I really do. So, yeah.
So you know the consciousness that you and your frequency that is the place where you need to live. And it may not agree with the rest of the world in terms of how the rest of the world functions, but you know your frequency that brings you into coherence and balance and well-being.
I do know it does that. I'm not sure about the consistency and whether I'm in the same state each time I attempt to get there, you know, because I can definitely get in the way, and that's what I've been working through is staying out of the way. So,
That's the path to enlightenment.
yeah. Yep, and I'm on it, and I'm willing and able. So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Has anyone else noticed the relationship of where their consciousness needs to be to take them out of a state of discomfort, whether it's physical pain or emotional discomfort or mental stress?
There, this is
Like,
Char. I had a, well, j during lunch, took the dogs out to throw the frisbee, and we're maintaining the wonderful feeling and grounding from the circle. I big things happen, and I don't notice how big they are. And I was standing there and heard the crack of thunder, and turned around and watched one of the biggest trees in the woods fall flat from a towering height, crashed down. And as it hit the ground and brought two little trees with it, and this is across the ravine from where I'm standing, I watched it cross the ravine and land. And at that moment, I thought, well, something big is shifting. And I felt a moment of absolute terror, just frightened, and turned around, and the dogs were running toward me. And as I turned around, I felt immediately the feeling I had had before the terror, and went straight to my feet and grounded again, and realized, yeah. Death happens. I know, just it was like this major league thing happened to this tree, and I got it for a minute in terror, and then the next minute completely accepted it. And if that's a symbol of what's happening in my life, then bring it on. I'm ready for it. Right? But that feeling of being deeply grounded brought me immediately back from the fear. From the feeling of fear.
Wow. So did you say dogs plural?
Yeah, well, my daughter's dog is here with us.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
No, we don't have a new puppy
Okay.
yet.
Yet. Okay. Okay. Wow. That's so funny because at lunch, I was looking out into our woods and I noticed farther back, deeper in the woods, there was a tree that is definitely dead there. And I was looking at that tree and wondering, I wonder when it's going to go down.
I don't usually get to witness it.
I know. Or hear it like that. Whew. Okay, anyone else?
Hi, this is Michelle. And the description of learning what frequency, I don't know if I'm saying it where you did, but frequency that I need in order to live at the consciousness level that I can sustain is
Hold
I.
on one second. We're talking about the consciousness level frequency that brings you into comfort, coherence, and
Right.
well-being, right?
Thanks.
Not that you can necessarily sustain, but you know the place. Okay.
Right, of where I can live it. And that description has been something that I've tried to understand because I've had over the years made a lot of accommodations for choices for doing things that sustain me in a way that's different than what's expected. I don't know that I'm getting the right words out, but I understand it the way it was described, and I have experienced that and experience it. And it was helpful to hear that described in that way.
Once we experience that state that brings us into a beautiful state within our being, it's hard to live not in that state, you know? And that sets up a little bit of a struggle or challenge to we know what feels right to us, and it's probably not what's around us in terms of the culture around us. And that is there's a lot of choices there to make, and it's not easy. One choice would be to drop out drop out completely, but that doesn't usually work either, because we're meant to work through this during this transitional time, and choose as often as we can to align with our true self. And it's hard living with choices that don't align with our true self. And that sets up a disruptive frequency in our being, causing pain and discomfort. But that's where we are. We're in the middle of it. And so we're each working our way through that. It would be different, like I've said before, if we were living in a ashram or monastery where we could be supported and not have to interact with the world. But that's not how we're living, and that's not how we're meant to live. We're meant to live through this, creating the space for embodied realization and for the flow of high frequency energy between Mother Earth, Father Sun, and the human being. So we are helping to create the space that is entering through the new paradigm. And I've often described it like taking a teaspoon and trying to dig a tunnel through a mountain. It's, we're moving through some really thick density to make this shift. Okay, anything else?
Hi, it's Kim. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share that I think I can speak to that. When I find that I've stepped out of the frequency that's nurturing and loving, there's times when, you know, it feels untrue. Like it feels I'm not being true to myself. And if it's more on an extreme end, it'll show up as I freeze, like frozen kind of a thing. And I've experienced that recently. And it was really tricky to get out of. And I think for the first time, I could understand what, I don't know if self-sabotage is the right word, but maybe self-loathing, like what that actually would look like within myself. And I don't think of myself as someone who is self-loathing. But the fact that I was frozen, energetically, felt really uncomfortable. And I think that was more emotional related to emotions. But I've taken some more space, and that seemed really important to do. And I've done that, and sitting in the flow more of what we experience today. And I agree with how other people describe their somatic sensations within their bodies. And it really just feels so loving and, you know, luxuriating in that beautiful field. And I was given a flashback from when I was a kid in my bedroom. And I had a twin bed, and the flashback was I would sit at the end of my bed with my feet on the floor and, you know, my seat on the edge of my bed, and I would be in that zone for, I've done this as a kid, and it was fun to see my bedroom again as a kid and have that feeling. And then usually a family member would, you know, walk by my door and go, "Are you still sitting there?"
Yep.
You know, and I didn't know what I was doing back then. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Kim, you can also speak to how much patience it takes to shift in right timing.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said that, because there was a piece during the thawing out over the last week or so that I would keep returning to, you know, the practice of grounding and all that. Let me see. Let me go back. I would get in the zone and start feeling really good. And then I'd want to pop out of it because there's the piece of me that says, you're not doing anything. But there's the conscious piece of me, of course, knows that this is probably the best possible thing I could be doing for myself, for everything, for the greater good. And if I'm being honest, there's a part of me also that still does compare, you know, oh, other people can do it faster. Mm-hmm. When in reality, is that true? Who knows? And why do I care? Mm-hmm. So I'm just putting that in the pot so that right. can dissolve, you know. But yeah, it does take a lot of patience. I remember being on retreat in Sedona with you, and it's, I think my whole backside was, you know, boxed in. And I think you said something about my voice sounded like a little Mickey Mouse voice trying to get out. And I feel like that backside of me is waking up more and more. And someone in class the other day had mentioned angel wings opening. And I have experienced that as well coming online. So there is just sitting in the silence. Honestly, it's one of the most important things we can do, and the patience of just letting that unfold. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. it could take hours, but it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. The axis is formed in the circle. Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to contribute? Okay. So the collective conversation, a conversation that is grounded. I mean, every person who has spoken today has come from a deeply connected, authentic place. And that has created a cleared space. So I want you to hear how this has been a collective experience. That when people gather and they come from this deep connected place, grounded, they bring a presence to the group that then starts forming a higher collective consciousness. And this is what sacred circle is about, sacred ceremony is about, and ultimately, the collective consciousness enhances everything and everyone and allows us to expand more safely. So, anything else? We're going to move into the alignment with the axis and the toroidal field.
I just want to say that I feel, I think more deeply than I ever have what you just said. I have witnessed within myself today these various things that came up that I shared or didn't, and then the conversation unfolding, and can feel shifts in my body, shifts in my thinking, just through this process today. And so it feels pretty miraculous right now.
It's rare to have a whole group be able to speak from this deeply authentic in your experience and authentic in your expression and with the groundedness and depth. And that's what creates the ceremony. That's what gathers the light, the helping beings. and the higher frequencies. So we've shifted out of the space in the old paradigm where you look to another person or guide or a teacher to do something, to shifting into your inner in the authenticity and place, know your place in the team and participate as a team. And that's the collective, collaborative approach. So it's multidimensional. And it centers around harmony and authenticity and groundedness with Mother Earth. And that becomes very generative and creates more and more beautiful higher frequency consciousness, which then allows us to align with the new earth frequencies that are coming in with this paradigm shift. So it's very dynamic, very alive. Where everyone's connected to the living energies and helping to sustain that in the group. And one of the ways to demonstrate that it's a collective experience is having each of you speak. If I was the only one speaking, you wouldn't get out of the old paradigm. So collective, collaborative, and living energies. It generates light and consciousness. So I'm always going to invite, if anyone has anything to say, please contribute. Okay. Okay, so the light, the central axis of the field is established in the circle now. And let's come back to our feet and seat. And allow the tailbone to soften and drop. If you notice, there's still some tension in the calf muscles that we want to melt. And so we're going to ground into a safer, deeper experience within the greater consciousness that's collected here. So spend a little time inviting that lower back and tailbone to soften and release more. And what that does, besides aligning us along our central channel, it also repairs the channel that goes up the back and down the front, the circulating channel of qi that circulates around the central channel. Now, if you remember from like 25 years ago, one of the exercises on that Silent Mind Soaring Heart CD was about breathing up the back and around the top of the head and down the front and allowing that circulation pattern to activate. Some of you remember that. So as we're settling in here and allowing the whole bottom, the hips, the tailbone, the lower back to soften and release, we're repairing any shorts and splits in that circulation that is an integrative pattern in our energy field. So the central axis is always there. It can get covered up, but it can't split or splinter or break because that's what keeps us alive. This pattern that circulates around the back, over the top of the head, around the front is our integrative left, right, feminine, masculine, pattern energy circulation for full integration. And you don't have to make it happen. Once we soften and release the tailbone and allow the hips to sink, the lower back to release, the muscles in the pelvis and groin to soften, that energy circulation will begin to restore itself and repair itself. And that's what creates that sphere of consciousness that I refer to. So it's not tight in the body, it's in the field, it's in the meridians. I'll just sit here for a bit until that becomes more apparent. And so you might not feel the exact circulation, but you might feel your sphere of consciousness inflating or becoming more available. It's not that linear, you know what I mean? It's very geometric and filled with light and more dimensional. There we go. And this makes us available to the support and help from higher frequencies. And we can call that helping beings, guides, luminous beings, aliens, whatever we want to call them. But It's a frequency that takes us into self-repair and regeneration and an expanded state. So if you notice, we've had a theme of repair and restoration. And when we come into alignment with Mother Earth and Father Sun, that naturally begins to occur. Everyone in the group starting to light up. Let yourself go nonverbal. And we're at a frequency where the energies are digesting the heavy energies. So we're in a digestive state. And these are our old heavy energies that have collected. And this is the action of living energies. You'll naturally digest food if everything's in working order. The earth naturally recycles, digesting everything that enters into it. And so we're in a digestive phase where our heavy energies are being transformed into energy, just like in our body. Fuel. So we're not reaching for any state, we're in the digestive phase. The digestive process just went deeper and unlocked heavy energies from the subconscious and hidden energies from the collective consciousness of the old paradigm. You may feel a deeper rooting through the tailbone into the earth. So, the connection between Mother Earth and Father Sun creates a dynamic living field that processes the heavy energies, the energies take us through the geometric solids, all the way through the most complex living geometry. And you may feel an activation of the third eye from inside the chakra in your head near the pineal gland. It's not outside. And then the crown opens to showers of light. Taking us through a deeper cleansing. Now, this is where the frequency increases. And this is an experience, an opportunity that occurs with the solstice or an equinox. So we are in our dimensional being. And we are meeting a higher frequency of our being. And that higher frequency of our being is stepping into our body as the old frequency being dissolves into the new frequency being. And this new frequency being within us is now aligning with our central axis and being rooted into and stabilized in our human form. And our greater soul, the oversoul of our being, is bringing in a higher frequency to help integrate on a very luminous level this experience. This would be the consciousness of our being that exists in the stars and the stellar dimension. And now we're immersing in the stellar dimension where we turn into sparkles of light, like the billions and billions of stars in the galaxy. We are our own galaxy. And what this does is it breaks up the stagnancy created by matter. And allows for new consciousness to arise from within. This would be equivalent to the spirit of the air. But I do want you to notice you can still feel your feet, still feel your seat, and also be in this expanded, disintegrating, receiving, reformulating consciousness. Now we're expanding into a divine sphere. Beyond the human form, but being blessed and healed wherever we need it. Surrounded in divine love, embraced. And there is the frequency, the light of the divine being breathed into our being. And the release of all the ancestral trauma. Is occurring. A whole cleansing of the planetary trauma is being drawn into Source, not through us and not through the circle. This is when the sacred circle becomes a planetary ceremonial vehicle. You could sit and twiddle your thumbs while this is going on. It's at such a deep level. You don't, your consciousness is. Your conscious being doesn't know. It's in your deeper awareness. And there's a second wave of clearing occurring. And a third wave of clearing. And I didn't know if we would stop there, but we're moving on to the next ascension. That this feels like a very strong energy entering our being and in surrounding us and immersing us in it. Allow yourself to take it in, align with it. It's integrating all these dimensions into our earth being. There you go. Beautiful. Okay. Take a few deep breaths. Feel the central light axis within your being. Allow the energies to flow between earth and sun, creating a nice flow state within you. This was huge. There's a lot to integrate here. We're being blessed and appreciated for the offering of our beings to be able to participate in this ceremony. And I think we can express the same gratitude and appreciation for being able to participate in it. So there's reciprocal respect and appreciation and a sense of the greater wisdom and love. That we live within. It is so still outside. Allow yourself to settle into your seat and surroundings. It's going to be a very gentle closing of the ceremony, gradual and gentle. It's kind of funny to have that much power and associate it with gentle and gradual, but it's all happening at once.